You're listening to the Mind Your Own Dog Business podcast. I'm your host, leading expert in dog business strategist, Kristen Lee. Guys, get ready for your journey. Your journey to cutting-edge marketing and sales, creating a standout, kick-ass dog business brand, along with mastering your mindset that's going to smash all of those glass ceilings that have been holding you back and catapult your dog business to the next level with actionable steps you can take right away. We're going to empower you. We're going to grow you as you step into your authentic self, not only as a dog trainer, dog walker, or whatever slice of the pet industry you find yourself in, but as that badass entrepreneur. My mission is to disrupt the current norm, cut through the noise, cut through the bullshit, and empower the incredible women of the dog business industry to step into the spotlight, reclaim control, and transform not only their businesses, but their lives. It's real. It's raw, it's uncensored, and it's what this dog business industry needs. Let's do this, guys. Hello, everyone. Welcome to today's episode of the Mind Your Own Dog Biz podcast. Today, guys, I'm going right for the jugular. I'm out for blood on this episode because it really gets my panties in a knot. And it gets Dog Biz School's panties in a knot. When we talk about people, especially dog trainers, dog walkers, or any other pet business entrepreneurs undervaluing themselves and being fucking cheap. Because you want to know something? There will be always someone cheaper. Just don't let it be you. Because fuck being cheap. Fuck the industry's reasons, the pet industry's reasons and excuses collectively for why you should be cheap as a pet dog business owner. Here's the thing. This episode has been a long time coming. I've hinted on this. I've talked about undervaluing yourself. I talked about being cheap and everything like that. It's been on the back burner. I've hinted about it. And I think I did a couple episodes around this and how to actually strategically raise your rates. But what really got a bug up my butt was this weekend. A new listener to the podcast, she joined our group. Hey girl, hey, what's going on? I'm calling you out. I'm shouting you out, sending you love. And she posted an innocent question about starting her first dog training business. Now, mind you, she does have experience with dogs and she's looking to start up a dog training business, a new dog training business. And she was asking for helpful advice and tips on getting her first few clients in the door. 80% of the advice that came in to her, innocent advice, quote unquote, it's not as innocent as you think. It's actually pretty fucking insidious, guys. 80% of that advice was either to do dog training for free, yes, for free, or for cheap. Do it cheap. Do it cheap. Do it discounted. You're new. You need to get clients and do it cheap. Now, we're not going to just talk about the newbie dog trainer. This doesn't just apply to her or the person that's been in business for maybe 2 to 3 years. This is the full spectrum. Because you can't keep undervaluing yourselves, guys, especially the women in this industry, okay? So we're going to talk about that, and this affects everyone. I don't care if you've been in business for a month. I don't care if you've been in business for 30 years. Hell, if you've been in business for 30 years and you're listening to this episode, good for you. I want you to listen to this because I have a sneaking suspicion that you still might be undervaluing yourself. Now, I'm going to use the word cheap and undervaluing and undermining interchangeably. I know the word cheap's a harsh word, but I want this episode to trigger you and to resonate with you because I'm speaking to all of you guys to give you the understanding you deserve to be a high value professional. And again, there is always going to be someone cheaper. Don't let it be you. So I'm going to cover today the common reasons and the common excuses I hear from the entire pet industry, not just dog trainers, but also dog walkers, pet sitting, peeps, groomers. I hear this stuff also in professional organizations. That's why pisses me off. Now, if you feel singled out, I am not single anybody out here, all right? This is for the collective knowledge, and my message is to give everybody the steps to start to find their value and to understand why we undervalue ourselves. Because again, there's so much pressure. Yes, there is pressure to undercharge and undervalue your services. And what happens is when we start to undermine our own inherent value as professionals and service matter experts when it comes to the business of dogs, it starts this almost ripple effect that just doesn't affect you as a business owner, as a dog trainer, or as a dog walker, as a boss, as whatever, facility owner. It actually has effects on the entire community. And we're going to dig into those. Now, again, I do want to start off with a warning, okay? You might get angered by this. You might feel like this is way too close. You might be like, oh my God, I talked to her once. She's talking about me. No, it's not about you. This is something that I'm attacking as an industry-wide issue, all right, and being undervaluing yourself. And I want you to feel triggered around this topic because it's going to hit on some insecurities. So undervaluing yourself, guys, goes much deeper. It goes really fucking deep. It's this almost inherent survival, especially if you're a people pleaser. And our goal at Dog Biz School is to have every single one of our students financially secure. That's why in the last 5 years, our students have made over $50 million in profits alone. Okay. Our students collectively, $50 million in profits, more than $50 million in profits. So if I feel like I'm on a pedestal about this, I am, because I want every single one of you guys to have financial security. Okay. It's time to have financial security, because financial security is more than a fancy car. Now, I'm not shaming people that have a fancy car. Man, your girl here, I love a Range Rover. I love a white Range Rover. That shit's on my vision board, right? When it's time, I will invest in the liability of a Range Rover. Or the current bragging rights you hear so many people talking about these days of having a 6 or 7 figure pet business. Pretty soon next year, it's going to be 8 figure. I'm just telling you, it's going to put it in the Kristen's right jar. But when you have financial security, it's the meaning of having resources for yourself, resources for your business, resources for your employees, your facilities, your family, and your community too. That's what financial security is about. It's the ability to know that you can actually start to break generational issues when it comes around money. Yes, that's how deep money issues go. They come to generational issues. And to also give back, not just in money, like having money and distributing it is great. But when you're able to actually have that time to give back, when you're in that sweet spot of being financially secure, being profitable, and actually having a sustainable business, you are able to enter a creative space where you can create, you can build, you can generate more, not just for your business, but also community. Financial resources also allow you to enjoy life. You can heal, and you can also redistribute wealth and contribute to the matters that are of most importance to you. Because, you know, it's like, fuck capitalism. The way to hit back at capitalism and start to redistribute wealth is to make more money yourself. Okay, I know that sounds oxymoron and sounds actually super hypercritical, but when you're able to have a higher value attached to your service, you're able to pay yourself more, which allows you to have more financial security and stability. You're able to have distributed wealth in your family, pass stuff along. You're able to retire. You're not stressed out about where your finances are coming from. You're able to employ employees at a higher rate, helping them, helping their families, and so much more. And here's the thing too, when you're able to invest in yourself and your energy, you get peace of mind. My most favorite thing about being wealthy, guys, is it's the most gigantic fuck you to the system and to the patriarchy. And to the systems that have been created to hold BIPOC communities and folks back. Being wealthy allows you to break those systems. You can be that disruptor. It just doesn't mean like, oh, you can go on all these crazy trips and live an influencer lifestyle and have that purple Lamborghini. but you're able to actually create change, and you're able to create change in the dog training and the pet dog industry community by opening up and showing, okay, this is what it actually truly means to be a successful dog business owner. We don't have to be a commoditized business. So when you undervalue yourself as a dog trainer, as a dog walker, as a pet sitter, it undervalues you in so many ways. Okay. Your knowledge. All of you guys that are listening, I know you are subject matter experts and you have an in-depth, a great resource bank in your head of knowledge. It also undervalues all the fucking time you've done and you've put in, the investment of time. People forget like how much time that you've done already learning, creating, building, testing, workshops, everything, organizations, like conferences. And it also undervalues all the personal investments you've made, whether that is time or whether that is money too. Because like when you're building a business, it's also part of who you are as an identity. And if you've spent hours upon hours away from your family, undervaluing yourself is stealing from them, essentially. It steals from your family and it steals from your future. Now, I do want to talk about one of the biggest reasons we see in dog biz school, and when I talk to people and connect with people during our VIP days and during our one-on-one consult calls, is one of the biggest reasons we see dog trainers and dog walkers undercharged for their expertise comes down to this. Okay, it comes down to a few things, but it comes down to this. Insecurity. If you struggle with imposter syndrome, which a lot of people do, insecurity around the value they bring to the table. It sucks. It sucks. If that one hit you in the gut, I'm sorry. I wish you love. That's why I'm here to talk to you about it. We have to find ourselves and our security around ourselves and who we are as a person before we can start to really, really unravel who we are and what our value is to the table, to dog owners. And what also is a two fucking pronged cord to this, or a double-edged sword, I would say, I say prong, is the most undervalued dog trainers. These are smart, smart people, incredibly smart, incredibly talented, brilliant. The dog business owners that are talented and brilliant, that undercharge, often over-deliver, okay? They over-deliver, they overcompensate, and they overwork themselves because it's almost like they have so much skin in the game and they're so wrapped around and so attached to their final product, even if it's just dog walking or pack hiking or whatever, but they over-deliver and overwork themselves. And what happens is this recipe for disaster, resentment, and ultimately burnout. And I truly believe a lot of burnout can be solved by self-care, but self-care has to come in the form of valuing yourself as a dog pro. Now, something I want you to walk away with, if you get nothing else from this episode, okay, it's not strategic business advice. I'm not a life coach either. Ugh, God, I'm not a life coach. Nope, not my thing. But something I want you to really remember is what people pay you, what dog owners pay you in exchange for your services is not a reflection of your worth or of your value as a human. That goes for the people that are charging a lot of fucking money for their dog training and their pet sitting and dog walking services, to the people that are really unsure and they're starting out a little bit meek and undermining themselves. Now, to start to understand your value is to begin to unfuck your mindset when it comes to the emotions you have tied to money. Now, I have a whole bunch of resources you guys can look. I'm going to link them in my podcast episode. I'm not going to read them out loud, but how to unfuck your money mindset. It's going to be huge, huge, because when you have such an emotional attachment to numbers and to sales, and you don't look at it from almost a black and white binary situation, that's where a lot of the issues start to unravel. It's freaking crazy. But once we start to get really comfortable with numbers, we see it as a source of abundancy. Now, I'm not going all woo-woo shit like that, but see it as a source of abundancy, because as a business owner, as a dog trainer, you are in a really lucky spot. The industry is growing, and being an entrepreneur, you basically have control of so much money you can fucking make. Like, you can turn on the faucet. You can literally get up after this episode and be like, you know what, Kristen, I want to make $100,000 this month. Fuck yeah, you do, bitch. Go do it. And you have all the resources. You can go and do that today. You just have to make a choice to do that. I'll give you the steps in a little bit, but you have to start unfucking your mind around that, because the moment you start to tie all these crazy ass emotions that are patterns, that are habits that have been installed into you from generational trauma, installed from you from childhood, watching behavior around you, things that have been put into your brain before the age of 7, you're not going to get anywhere. You might get lucky. You might get lucky. But you're not going to get far until you unfuck your mind around the emotional attachment to money. The moment you stop making an emotional attachment to sales and to money is the moment everything breaks free. Ask any dog biz school student. The moment they drop the emotional attachment around money and asking for the sale and, you know, whatever their value is, all that kind of fucking funky stuff that trips everybody up and they keep tripping on, it's the moment they start to have their 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70K months. It's fucking true, guys. It's fucking true. Now, I also want to address collectively the pet dog business industry in the dog training community thought. It's like, it's this bubble that I see around. I always see it around. My husband fell into it this week and I almost kicked his motherfucking ass because of it. Cause I'm like, dude, you know better. I'm like, don't fucking say that to me. Cause he was on a sales call and it went long and the person, he didn't hold the objection handling system. He knows very well and whatever, going off on a rant here. But I want to talk about this cloud that looms. It's getting better. It's a lot better than it was back in 2015, but now it's a lot better. It's that dog owners are cheap. Dog owners won't pay that much money in my local area for dog walking, pet sitting, dog walking and services and dog training. Or COVID fucked my business so bad, I have to keep my prices low to attract new clients in. Or the other one, I see this one a lot and I see it with a lot of empathetic people. I love this. I love you guys that you're thinking this way, but this train of thought does not help you either, is times are bad. I don't want to contribute to people's challenges by making it hard for me to pay them for their dog's issues. Okay. I want to bust this one. I want to bust this whole kind of conversation around this, around pricing and why we can't charge our value and why we can't do this, or why we're kind of like stunted and limited in our local bubble and whatnot. We're going to talk all about this. Here's the thing. I want you to Google this when we're done. Price is perception. Repeat, price is perception. No matter the market, no matter what the market's doing, no matter what the dog owning market's doing, if everybody has a dog or if nobody has a dog, price is still going to be perception. The industry, doesn't matter if you are in dog training, it doesn't matter if you're in dog grooming, it doesn't matter if you're in pet sitting or whatnot, it doesn't even matter if you're in pet portraits or the economy, price is always going to be perception. Okay. Now, are there cheap as fuck dog owners that are going to waste your time and want the bottom of the barrel prices? Abso-fucking-lutely. You know what? The majority of people out there are like that. Okay. I'm repeating that. I'm saying that. 70% of people are actually like that, because the United States are huge. Canada, all of North America, the entire fucking pet industry is huge worldwide. There's billions and billions and billions of people, and chances are people are going to be cheap and lazy. Are there wealthy dog owners with a skewed view and perceive spending $1,500 on a pet service as absurd? Abso-fucking-lutely too. Abso-fucking-lutely. I'm not fighting with you on this. I'm agreeing with you. But there's a 30% there that wants you. And that 30%, even though the number seems small compared to the 70% that might be cheap, that 30% is a lot of fucking dogs and a lot of fucking dog owners. Now, are there a lot of amazing dog owners that you feel and that you want to help and they want help and they need help and you want to help them, but they can't afford it. Yes. Yes, there is. There's a lot of amazing people that might not be able to afford your services off the cuff, but that's why you have a high value service you sell to other 30%, because so you can reinvest back into the other dog owners, guys. Now, I'm not saying fuck everybody and just go for the rich people. Abso-fucking-lutely not. What I'm saying is target those people. Get it out of your mind that everybody's cheap and that you're a scumbag for charging higher prices. Don't fall into those traps. There are people out there in that 30% that are going to be amazing clients for you. And you, as a professional, as a subject matter expert, your job is to reach them and to help them and to change fucking lives. And then whatever money you have left over that you can reinvest back into your community, even if it's not the people that can't afford you, maybe it's something else. Maybe it's, you know, starting a hobby farm. We have students that have hobby farms right now for sustainability and survivability for their families, generational farms. But you got to get out of the trap. Don't fall into the trap of thinking pricing is only the thing your clients care about, your future clients care about. All right. Dog owners' viewpoints on price perception aren't your business at all. Now, here's also the other thing. So when I see people giving the advice or going after quote unquote cheaper style services, cheap style. Now, undervalues, we're going to talk about undervaluing. And you have kind of the lower or mid, maybe your services are on point for what other people do. But what happens is when you have lower price services, they attract the wrong people, the wrong dog owners, and the worst people in your dog business. When you call in the people that are only looking for the bottom of the barrel prices, that only see the value there versus the benefit of you serving them, they will make you hate your fucking life and your profession in the process. We see it a lot with the veteran dog trainers of 20, 30, 40 years. You know, the people that have been doing classes for a really long time. And they're burnt out. They're tired because they've been calling and they've been having this cycle of the lower end stuff coming in, you know, the puppy class for 8 weeks for $150. And it's just continuously, it's like the song that never ends and it goes on and on and on. And my friends, it's because people aren't fully invested into your product, into your service. Those people that only value price. Now, are there people that want to get value out of their service? Abso-fucking-lutely. That's why you have to be able to give them a service that has that value, that expensive price tag. But the people that are only interested in the value of the price, they will most likely be massive time wasters. They will undermine your expertise, aka they will not fucking listen to you. They will waste your time. I said that already, but it's huge because again, all the time you invested in your education and building your business, and then just to have a client fuck around and dick around and not fucking take you seriously. They're not going to do shit with their dogs, or just say you're a dog walker or a pet sitter and you're stepping into dog training, just say you're going through accreditation. And you, originally, a lot of those clients that you're starting to market yourself and starting to have those capabilities briefings with, and you're like, hey, listen, Karen, hey, I'm doing this thing and I really think Fido needs to do this. And this is what I see happening. If she came to you because you have the cheapest prices, you came off a Rover and you converted her into a client, Karen's going to have a fucking issue with you saying, hey, your dog needs to be on a $1,500 maintenance program. They're not going to respect your value as the dog training expert, as the dog behavior expert, as the dog body expert or whatever, because you're not respecting and honoring it yourself. Here's the thing, dog trainers, dog walkers. If you don't believe in your value as a person, as a professional, as a business, if you don't believe in the value of your employees, your clients won't either. Now, you might be thinking, Kristen, well, here's the thing. I can hear you saying this already. I already have issues getting people in at my current rates and people complaining about my prices. Now, meaning you get a lot of people coming in and they're like, oh, you're too expensive and blah, blah, blah. I got to go talk to my spouse or whatever. If I raise them, Kristen, I'm going to be fucked with no clients. How do I do this? You sound great. You talk a big game, Kristen, but how do I do this? This is a great question, guys. Right now, if you are having this issue of where people are coming in and they're not buying or they're not getting your services because you're too expensive, and I'm air quoting right here, I want you to examine a few key areas in your dog business. One, where are these people coming in? If it's mostly word of mouth and referrals, you're most likely stuck in a cycle, the birds of a feather flock to fucking gather. Meaning, if a lot of your clients that are you have, that base of clients came in at a cheaper rate and they're referring out and they're saying, hey, so-and-so, Kristen the dog walker services are great and she's really cheap, or Kristen can do a board and train for $800, you need to go with her. The moment those motherfuckers hit your sales pipeline and you start to sell them and get on the phone, they're going to, again, birds of a feather flock together. So collectively, what's happening, you keep up the cycle of the cheap people that are coming in that have the same values, right? So if you look at your friends, the people you surround yourself with, the family members you surround yourself with, chances are you guys have all the same values. Same thing with those dog owners that are referring you out. Now, what you can do is you have to take a look at your marketing and how people are coming in. And we're going to chat about that in just a little bit. Having a solid sales process is going to help you if you're stuck in this process of the cheap people coming in consistently. Chances are you're missing out on 50% of people converting them over into sales if you don't have a sales process. Meaning, instead of how much do you charge, blah, 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 is actually via email, oh, I charge $3,500 for board and train. Cool, thank you, bye, or you never hear back. What you want to do is you want to get on the fucking phone with them and talk to them and listen to them. Have those connective conversations. See what the fuck is going on, how you can solve their solution, or how you can solve their problem with a solution that is beneficial. Not landing it out like, hey, you're going to get this, 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 and this, and it's $3,500. Okay, cool, that's fine. Like, it is what it is. But you want to start having a solid sales process. And in that sales process, the first 5 fucking minutes, you can start weeding out those cheaples. I call it cheaples. That means cheap people, cheaples. It's a thing we talk about here. And you can weed them out in the first 5 minutes of your call. Like, tell me a little bit more. How much have you spent on your dog in the last year? Or tell me about the dog training you've done before and everything like that. You can start weeding them out fast. And then also holding boundaries. People that want something for cheap are probably not going to respect your boundaries. So you can start fucking having boundary conversations already with them. Well, we're going to have a Bitches Love Boundaries episode coming soon. I know this is going to make any of you guys that are seasoned dog trainers or dog walkers butt clench, but you're going to have to break it. You're going to have to break this cycle of making the connections on the phone, showing up with your unique value, how you can help, and holding people accountable if they want them help. In the show notes too, I will link my sales podcast here and you can listen to them, take a lot of good notes. People don't understand how much good stuff I give away for free on this, how much good stuff Dog Biz School allows me to give away for free on this episode, on these podcasts. Go listen to them and get some notes on there. Now, here's the thing too. If you're still stuck in the cycle of people that are coming in and they're cheap and every single person that comes in is a tire kicker looking for the bottom of the barrel dog training prices, you got to get extremely clear on all platforms, everywhere. You have to like tattoo it on your face if you need to, on who you want to work with, who the fuck they are, what they want, and why is it important to them when it comes to their dog. Doesn't matter if they just need somebody to watch their dog when they go take a trip to Maui after COVID's lifted. Everybody has vaccinations and whatnot. Don't come at me for that. Or if it's somebody that's really struggling with their adolescent dog with the biting and the nipping and the pulling, or maybe it's a person that got their first puppy and they're in over their head. You have to get really clear on what they want, what their lifestyle is going to look like after. Huge hint on that one, guys. It's the first time I said that. And once you get clear on this, you're going to need to connect with them with your messaging. Okay. So if you're having that cycle of people coming in, doing those steps above is going to make a huge difference, especially. And I could tell you again, if you're not hearing from people after you email them back, you're getting lost in translation. Pick up the phone, give them a call. Hey, Kristen, thank you so much for reaching out. I'm sorry to hear you're having issues with Buddy. Hey, I'd love to connect with you to learn a little bit more about you. What's the best number I can call you at? Boom, that's your template right there, guys. Now, here's the thing. I hate business coaches. I can't believe I said that. I actually don't like business coaches, even though I'm quote unquote, Dog Biz School is a business coach too. I hate that business coach advice of, well, honey, you just need to charge your value. That is the most vague bullshit out there. Listen, I'm guilty of saying that shit myself back in the day, right? Like, I don't give a shit anymore. I'm transparent as fuck. You guys know that. If you can't, but we have to start talking about how to start charging your value. Now, I can't tell you, to all my listeners, all 10,000 of you guys that listen to me each month, what your value is. Like, I got to get on the phone with you and understand like what you do, who you are, what you offer, your expertise and everything like that. Like, it's, I just can't put that out there. Like, that's just not me. But we have to start looking, how can we start to do the inner work and the outer work in our business and ourselves of how to start finding our true unique value so we don't have to attract the cheap motherfuckers into our dog businesses. Here's the thing. If you can't define your value and what people get from working with you as a dog trainer, it's going to be hard as hell to sell anything. Like, you can be an Eskimo and have ice, but if you don't know have that value in that ice and you're fucking solid and you have that confidence, you aren't going to sell shit. There was this one retreat we did, Maggie and I did back in the day, I think it was like spring 2019. And we had a whole bunch of people over. It was another business coach that brought her students over. Shout out to Christina Cass. Love you, girl. And it was around sales. We were working them through sales. And one of the young ladies, I believe she was from Australia, was really struggling with sales because she had a really strong lack of confidence and authority behind her voice. Like, it happens as women. It's just a thing sometimes. And I remember Maggie saying, I want you to pick up and sell your most expensive dog training program for free. And she was like, I can't do that. Are you fucking nuts? I'm not selling my $5,000 dog training program for free. And I remember Maggie saying, if you can't sell for free, can't sell for $5,000. And homegirl went on the phone, called maybe 100 people. Guess what? She didn't sell shit for free. So if you don't know your value, it doesn't matter what an excellent dog trainer you are. You got to have that confidence and you got to have that knowledge and that expertise to back it up and be able to have it translate over your conversations with people. So let's talk about defining your value. First thing you got to do is get clear on your numbers and understand them non-emotionally. Don't be attached to numbers, guys. Like, stop having attachments to numbers, okay? Money comes and it goes. It's a resource. It's not something you can cry. I know I'm speaking like an asshole here, but the more unattached you can get to your numbers, the better. Have a goal. If you have a goal, and I want you to start a goal that's smart for you, go listen to my smart goals episode. It's fine. But if you have a goal of $5,000, okay, just say that's a goal. I'm not telling you to have that goal. Or $10,000. Reverse engineer that motherfucking bitch. Charge accordingly. Start to charge accordingly to that goal, okay? And what you can start to do to get comfortable to warm up to that goal is give yourself a freaking raise right now. Do it today. This is what I want everybody to do after this episode. I want you to fucking tag me on Instagram at Dog Walker Coach. By the way, I hate that tag name. I'm not a dog walker coach anymore. It's just a joke. But this is my goal. I want every single one of you motherfuckers that are listening today, I'm going to challenge you to give yourself a raise. The next person that connects with you for dog walking or pet sitting or dog training, I want you to quote them 15 to 20% higher. If you're a dog trainer, I want you to up your offer to 15 to 20% higher and go for it. Just go for it. You got to just go for it, guys. Just make a decision unemotionally and go for it. That 15 to 20% is going to get you at least to mid-market value. Now, the next thing to start changing and charging your value, stop looking at what other people are fucking doing. Dear Lord, the same people that are telling our new dog trainer to be cheap are the same people you are basing your rates off of. Can you hear the anger in my voice around that? Don't do that, guys. Your rate should not be based on what Sally Pants up the road is charging versus what you're charging. Y'all have different unique values. Nobody should be the same price or below it. You should not use your KPIs and your goals as fucking what so-and-so is charging up the street, no matter how many years of experience, no matter how many letters after their fucking name they have of accreditations and certifications and shit like that. They bring in the same undercharging fucked mindset. Now, the next part is look at your service offers. Look at your service offers. They actually might be low valued. They might be. So if you're offering a 15-minute walk, yeah, nobody's going to pay a lot of fucking money for a 15-minute walk. But what happens when you hash that 15-minute walk off your service offers and you're like, you know what? I think I can do something different and unique. What if I created a program around what the dog needs and what I can do for the dog, the individual dog? Suddenly, that 15-minute walk turns into something a little bit different. I'm not going to give you the details because you got to be a paying client. Suddenly, that 15-minute walk turns into a $1,500 maintenance program. Okay. Now, if you're a dog trainer, this doesn't mean hop onto the online dog training. Okay. Because that's a whole commoditized system that I've talked about before. But start to redesign something a bit different. How can you make their experience a little bit different as a dog trainer if you do board and trains, or even if you do group classes or privates? Not just online dog training or an online knowledge or putting videos online. It goes far beyond that. Next thing you can do is become a dog business without borders, especially if your local market is on the lower side, if they can't support a higher ed dog training thing. Have a service that expands way beyond your local area with those dope ass offers. Just because you're in one section doing board and trains doesn't mean you can't train on the other coast. That's where fusion programs come in, baby. Now, the next thing is up your marketing game. Connect. Conversations. Go. Listen to my last episode. Up your marketing game. Stop the basic bitch shit. Now, the next thing I want you guys to start to do, stop the add to cart on your website. Make your sales personal and not rely on your website being your salesperson. Our website's important abso-fucking-lutely. It's funny because years ago we talked about websites suck. Guess what? In 2021, Dog Biz School is doing, I just hired a whole new website team and we're teaching our students how to actually have websites that attract and convert people in without adding to cart. But stop making the focus of your sales on your website. Don't let people hanging. Make sure they take action. Call them to take strong action and get on the phone with them. Stop the free consults and meet and greets in person. Use a phone call as your fucking consult and meet and greet. Yes, even my pet sitters. Spank you there. Understand how to communicate your value versus what you do. That means no listing, I do A, B, C, D, and E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, O, P. At the end of the day, your dog walks away with a tool or a leash, a 15-foot leash and a collar and this and that or this and that. Or your dog goes for a walk for 15 minutes and gets a treat at the end of the day. There's no value in that, guys. Start to communicate the benefits of that. And the last one, my last one is be mindful of who you surround yourself with and who you listen to, aka don't listen to broke motherfuckers. Okay? Now, if you're a new dog trainer, like my new listener, hey girl, hey, shouting you out again, and you're getting that advice of to do shit for free or extra cheap, I don't know who's teaching this. Like, if dog training schools are teaching this, like, I'm gonna fight you. Like, I'm gonna legit fight you guys. Like, I don't know who you are. I'm gonna fight you though if you keep telling these dog trainers. You're just hurting people up, setting people up for success. What I want my new dog trainers to do and dog walkers to do, take your experience and your current knowledge, create something epic and different around what you can do with the dogs and help the right people by getting clear on the right people. And as you get rolling financially, you can start to reinvest into your education, into your skills, and start to learn the finer nuances. Now, am I saying if you're a new dog trainer right out of dog training school or accreditation, go and work with the most crazy resource guarding, aggressive baby eating people in the world? No, absolutely not. But if you're a newer dog trainer and you're like, you know what, I really like working with puppies, you can create something fucking dope for those puppies that could be long-term, like some of our students are doing for long-term puppy programs of $15,000 and up. And you can start paying for your education and your knowledge to get more comfortable around the higher or harder behavior mod cases. So don't feel like you need to be trapped and keep yourself small financially if you're a new dog trainer. All right, guys. Well, that wraps up today, and I'm looking forward to seeing everybody's feedback on this episode. And thank you so much if you stuck with me in the whole entire episode. I love you all, and I just want to see you all be financially secure and that we can give the motherfucking middle finger to undervaluing and undercharging yourself, because there's always going to be somebody cheaper than you. Just don't fight to be cheaper. Till next time. Bye. Hey there. Thank you for listening to another badass episode of Mind Your Own Dog Business. If you haven't already subscribed, what are you waiting for? Oh my God. Go and subscribe now so you don't miss out on any of our content-packed dog business jam sessions, plus special offers that I'm gonna only be sharing with my amazing dog business entrepreneurial podcast listeners. Now, if you've enjoyed this episode, be sure to leave a 5-star kick-ass review so more amazing dog business owners just like yourself can find us and start to transform and disrupt their businesses and their lives unapologetically. And if you feel so inclined, feel free to tag me on Instagram with a screenshot of this episode and holler at your girl. I'm at dogwalkercoach. You can find me, dogwalkercoach, and I'll pop up and I'll give you a special shout out. All right, guys, till next time. Bye.